This is Fresh Air. If you're interested in finding younger singers who are interpreting pop and jazz classics, let me introduce you to Judy Niemack. As music critic Francis Davis recently wrote in The Village Voice, Niemack combines the best of both worlds, a cabaret singer's respect for melody as written, and a jazz singer's eagerness to have a go at it. Well, Davis mentioned two worlds. She's also part of a third. Niemack was trained as an opera singer. Her new recording, Heart's Desire, is on Stash Records. It features pianist Kenny Barron. Before we meet her, let's hear Come Rain or Come Shine, the opening track of her new album.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you. Come rain or come shine. Deep as a river, come rain or shine. I guess when you met me, you thought I was just another one of those. I'm gonna be true if you just let me.
Judy Niemack, you have a beautiful voice. You were actually trained as a coloratura. You studied opera.
Yeah, thank you for the compliment. I studied at New England, in New England Conservatory in Boston, after spending a few years in my hometown in Pasadena, California, studying privately.
How far did you get in opera?
Oh, I got to being in student productions in college, you know, that, and then I decided that I love singing and exploring that music, but I didn't want to dedicate my life to it because it was not free enough for me personally. And I was really fascinated with improvisation, and I wanted to use my classical technique, but also find out about jazz and improv and really making the music my own.
How much did you know about jazz when you decided you were interested in it?
Oh, well, when I was studying classical, I was also singing jazz at night.
Oh,
and I was in the jazz. I was singing with a jazz big band at New England, and I got reprimanded by the head of the voice department at that time for singing jazz, and he assured me that I would lose my voice if I continued.
Why?
Because jazz was taboo for classical singers. The vocal production is very different. And classical teachers are, or I mean, this was in 1974, 75. At that time, they were even more adamant about singing only classical and that you would ruin your voice if you sang any pop music at all.
What's the difference between how you use your voice in opera and in pop that would account for hurting your voice?
A lot of times in pop music, singers will push the chest voice register up, and that, I also teach voice, and I find this a lot with people who don't study and who just try to get that belting sound in the pop music. They push the lower register up, and it causes a break in the voice and can damage the voice. But I already had years of technical training, so I knew how to go through all the changes smoothly. I had a real good teacher, and so I never had any problems that way.
I'm not sure I know enough technically to follow the
chest voice and hand voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so chest voice is like your speaking voice, like ah, and head voice is ah. Chest voice is like ah, and head voice is ah. So if you take that chest voice, that belting voice, and push it up, It can cause problems. Is that clear?
Yeah, that helps a lot. And does it cause problems in part because it's putting a lot of stress on the throat?
It's not actually the throat, it's the vocal cords.
Right, right, right.
This is pretty technical. But anyway, the vocal cords, you use a different part of the vocal cords, and it can cause strain on them.
So how were you singing when you started singing jazz so that didn't happen?
Well, I started singing jazz with a real classical voice, which was sounded kind of odd in retrospect. I made a record in 1978 when I was just switching over. And one of the main differences in classical singing is that you use vibrato. You develop a vibrato that is your habitual sound, and you want to have that all the time. That's your regular tone. And anything else is a variation from, you know, a step away from that. In jazz, you start with a straight tone, and you use a vibrato to add a color. So I started singing jazz, but I had this classical vibrato, and it sounded kind of strange. It sounded more like, you know, musical comedy or theatrical kind of singing. And it took some time for me to get rid of that habit.
It's part of the reason why in opera there's a constant vibrato, so that it projects.
Yeah, it develops a really rich series of overtones that fill out the tone. You want to, you know, have a really large sound so that you can sing over a full orchestra. That's part of the requirements for opera. In jazz, you have a microphone.
When you started singing jazz, did you ever feel like, well, that you should dirty up your voice somehow and get, quote, low down in order to sing it?
Oh, it's been a long process for me of dirtying up my sound and relaxing my inclination toward perfection. And that's one of the things that drew me toward classical music, too. I love the perfection of, you know, really having something perfectly in tune and perfectly in time and the beauty of that. And in jazz, that's great, but never at the expense of emotion and feeling.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm wondering is, I think some people who are classically trained when they start to sing jazz think that they have to do this almost caricatured version of getting low down, you know, and put this I don't know, this like hoarseness into their voice, no matter how kind of clear their voice is. And
yeah.
I wonder if you went through a period like that of kind of like bending over the other way, you know, to kind of make up for the fact that you had this, you know, kind of beautiful and clear voice.
I never did. I just gradually have tried to come closer to what I think is my unique mm-hmm. individual voice without trying to make it anything. I've accepted the fact that I'm white, I'm a trained musician, and I adore music, and, you know, I'm not just out there singing without knowing what I'm doing, you know, and I'm not ashamed of that.
What was it like before you accepted that you were white?
Well, I used to sort of end up singing with this kind of Billie Holiday accent, you know, that later on I would realize that's not my voice at all, you know. But a lot of people, when they sing jazz, they put on like a black kind of accent because it's part of the tradition.
Uh-huh.
And I just realized that, you know, it's in American music and it's been influenced by all kinds of people. Of course it came from black people and their struggles and, you know, but it also comes from the theater music that was composed by Cole Porter and Irving Berlin and Harold Arlen, and, you know, it's a combination.
My guest is singer Judy Niemack. More in a moment. This is Fresh Air. My guest is singer Judy Niemack. Before we return to the interview, let's hear something else from her new album, Heart's Desire. This is Over the Rainbow. She's accompanied by cellist Eric Friedlander.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue. The dreams that you dare to dream, they really do come true. Someday I wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney top. That's where you'll find me.
That's Judy Niemack from her new album, Heart's Desire. Now, I know that you studied singing with the late jazz saxophonist Warren Marsh. What were some of the insights he gave you about singing and improvisation?
Well, Warren didn't know anything about singing. So luckily, I had my teacher. But he really grounded me in the tradition of jazz. He started me out learning solos by Louis Armstrong, Lester Young, Roy Eldridge, then moving on into Charlie Parker, which was years worth of study. And he also made me a complete improvisational musician. He gave me a lot of study tools, learning the scales and the chords, composing solos, composing motifs that you change around, just like in classical music. You do it one way, a phrase one way, then you turn it upside down, then you turn it backwards, and you use these phrases through chord progressions. And he really gave me a firm grounding in all the harmonic and rhythmic structures of jazz, which was incredible.
Could I ask you to sing a harmonic exercise that he taught you?
Sure. One of the things he did in my first lesson, which I still use with my students, is he gave me a way to learn a song. Step one, learn the melody. So, for example, I've Got Rhythm. Just, you have to be able to sing the melody with the metronome and nothing else. So that's your first lesson. Ba 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 da, ba 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 da, ba 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 da, ba di 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 da, etc. The second lesson is sing the roots of the chords in time. So the root is the bottom note of each chord. So for I Got Rhythm, it's ba da 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 da. Then you would sing 1, 3, 5, and 7 of each chord, but I'm going to have to do it slower. So ba 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 do 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 do. That's in root position. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I am. I am.
Then you improvise with those chord tones, which. So instead of going da-da-da-da, you might go da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba. You fool around with those four notes on each chord. And then you by this time, you really have a feeling in your body of what the harmony is.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go on to the scales and improvisation with the scales.
I saw a concert that you gave, this was years ago, sometime in the early or mid-80s, and I think it was exclusively scat singing. Did you go through a period of kind of abandoning the standards and going right to the improvisation?
Yes, and when I was studying with Warren, because he was very deeply into the improvisation, and that's what was attractive to me, and for years I was scatting. I was singing the melody, yeah, singing it nicely, but it was only just to get through it to get to the improvisation, you know. And this was in the early years. But over the last, gosh, about 6 or 7 years, I've really, really devoted myself to attaching emotionally to every lyric that I sing. And I threw out about half my repertoire because I realized that I had no feelings about the songs, although I liked them musically. So, yeah, you're right. I did go through that of being, because it's really easy for me to be in the music and in the improvisation, and that's my natural bent. But now I'm enjoying so much, you know, experiencing the songs emotionally and being able to bring some feeling to the audience.
Judy Niemack. She'll perform at Fat Tuesdays in New York, July 28th through 30th. Here's more from her new album, Heart's Desire, on Stash Records.
Da da da. yet for me to see. And the dearest love in all the world is waiting somewhere for me, is waiting somewhere, somewhere for me. The sweetest sounds I'll ever hear are still inside my head.
Judy Niemack. By the way, if you like singers, tune in again tomorrow when our guest will be Eileen Farrell. This is Fresh Air.